This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Now standing by for David Hellman, NFL on Fox. He'll be with you in just a moment. One of the top podcasts in the NFL, obviously, longtime worker, DallasCowboys.com. Brian Broaddus, personal editor from time to time.
Oh, geez.
Up there at the .com.
Yeah.
And last year he hit the big time. Went out to L.A., was defending Dak's honor at every turn against Shady McCoy. And whatever haters that the Fox Sports would bring onto the set. And now he's a big shooter over there with his own podcast and living the good life. So salute to Dave, and he'll be on with you here shortly. Jameis Winston, first start in 2 years, earns him AFC Offensive Player of the Week honors. So congrats to Jameis Winston. Kirk Cousins, this week's opponent for the Cowboys, wins the NFC honors, 276 yards, four touchdowns in a 31-26 win over Tampa. So it's right out of the frying pan and into the fryer. Do you see Atlanta is good enough to be an actual contender or just a playoff team at this point, Brian?
I've only seen their offense play. You know, I have a better understanding tonight when I sit down and look at their defense. Their ability to run the football, I think, is pretty impressive with those two backs. I mentioned about throwing it to them. Offense looks capable enough of putting up points, but I don't know how good their pass rush and stuff really is. Can they get off the field enough?
Yeah.
You know, Seattle beat them up pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So you know,
their defense is not very good.
Yeah, that's the thing about it is that you need to.
It's still Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. That's
you can only contend so much.
You know what? The thing, he puts up some incredible numbers. I mean, when you watch him.
Well, he loves playing the Bucs. He's got 9 touchdowns against them this year.
Yeah,
he tore them up.
He lit them up at that game they played
Thursday night
in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just. Oh.
So tomorrow in Krusty's Corner, Brian, you were going to preview that Falcons defense.
Yeah, I'll tell you if this thing's going to be a shootout game or not for your Cowboys.
Well, we stand by for David Hellman, DallasCowboys.com. Another great opportunity to talk about the work the Mavs put in last night, getting a victory against Minnesota, thanks in part to Kyrie Irving's 35. P.J. Washington had 17. Daniel Gafford is just so good with 14 and 4. Luka with 24 with a huge dagger three late in that game. Quentin Grimes was amazing, 3 of 5 from downtown.
Yeah.
And if he can get that three ball working, we might be looking at a team that might actually be significantly better than last year. You know, and I know throughout last year's run a lot, we talked about the importance of bringing Derrick Jones Jr. back. But if you take away Derrick Jones Jr. and you get Klay Thompson, Najee Marshall, and Quentin Grimes, and all those guys are going to play and be consistent contributors for you, you're looking at a team that, you know, can withstand injuries throughout the season, has multiple ways of, you know, breaking down an opponent's defense, and multiple weapons in the toolkit to go to for your own defense. You know, I'm finding myself after last night watching how all that comes together and you win another game against a contender while Luka is shooting poorly. I'm trying not to get too wrapped up and too excited, but I think Mavs fans are with me. Like, Mavs fans are texting with their buddies like last night, like, holy cow, can you believe this? You know, to go to the finals last year, you're looking for some validation, especially after what the Rangers went through. Is this going to be a season where actually a DFW sports team can take us on that ride that lasts multiple months where you're crotch first, your shoulders are back, and you're like, we are badass and we know it?
Yeah, like where you're constantly a top 2 or 3 seed in the West all season long because you're caring about. I mean, that was a scheduled loss last night.
Yeah.
When you consider just second out of a back-to-back, how much rest the T-Wolves had coming into it, and then you factor in Luka not being himself. But that's the beauty of having a guy like Kyrie. You mentioned Quentin Grimes. I thought that was a really, really nice plus, seeing him knock down shots the way P.J. Washington was knocking down shots. Like, all that stuff is giving you the encouragement of, like, okay, you can see that these were acquisitions that make sense, and the biggest issue was not being able to knock down threes in the finals, and we're seeing some glimpses here.
I feel like Kyrie Irving's on a mission. Maybe he's feel like he's got something to prove. 2 35-point games in the 4 games played so far. And I would imagine you'd feel that way. You know, coming out of that Boston series last year, I would be stewing on that all off season.
Totally.
You know, he's a man of a veteran age at this point, perhaps past his prime. And, you know, maybe 82 games at this level is a little bit too much to ask for from Kyrie Irving, especially with his injury history. But the way that he is playing coming out of the gates right now, you need that, you know. And teams are starting to describe the Mavericks in a way like you have two rim protectors. You have four guys on the perimeter that can shut anybody down. Mm-hmm. And now you have like two elite quarterbacks, you know, running your offense. Maybe the most intimidating playmaking duo we've seen since it was Kyrie and LeBron, when you talk about two guys, you know, together at the height of their powers that can win in so many ways. So right now, you know, the Mavs are absolutely the team most likely in DFW to bring home your next championship, and it's
stars,
very exciting.
Stars.
Maybe the Stars.
Maybe
okay,
stars.
We could talk about that maybe a little bit later on, but our guy is here now, David Hellman, NFL on Fox podcast, and a good afternoon to you. We're live from Whataburger, Dave, so we win. How the heck are you, though?
Oh, my God, I haven't had Whataburger in so long. That made me so sad, Gavin.
Sorry. I'll have a honey butter nugget for you or something. We'll be thinking about you maybe.
Get them to make me the A1 thick and hearty burger. Ooh, I need one of those in my life.
Yes, and the Cowboys need a winning team in their life, of course, Dave. How much are you thinking this downturn could be beyond this year, multiple seasons, or do you think they'll pull out of this and have a correction either at some point this year or next year at the latest?
I'm willing to say I don't see a big upturn coming this year. I mean, maybe the Cowboys can do a couple things to, you know, improve this year's team, improve the run defense, find a way to scheme up some open receivers for a change. I don't see it going great for the rest of the season. I'm not ready to speculate on a multi-year turn. I mean, they're going to have cap space next year. They're going to have draft assets. It doesn't look like it right now, but they are typically pretty good in the draft at finding, you know, blue chip caliber players. So I'm not worried about the big picture, but it's looking pretty bleak in 2024.
What'd you think about Micah asked Trevon Diggs on the podcast and them kind of going back and forth thinking the media needs to protect them. We're supposed to be one. We're supposed to be together. I wonder your perspective of that, having worked at DallasCowboys.com, actually being the team's media, and now you're a national representative.
Well, and I'm sure Brian has talked about this plenty of times. I think DallasCowboys.com is pretty unique among not just NFL teams, but really all team-owned media, in the sense that we just had a lot more leeway to be critical and be honest. So I really – and I completely understand. We were still owned by the team. You know, we still ultimately answered to the Jones family at the end of the day. But you compare – the work that we did with pretty much any other team-owned media, and I think it's a vastly different experience. But I will say, I think it's a confusing time to digest media if you're not trained in the world of media. You know, I saw Micah and Trevon say that, and you know, for all of the traditional old-school outlets that do this and have done it for a long time, these days there are just as many podcasts, blogs, newsletters, whatever you want to call it, from people who are fans and who are unabashedly pro Cowboys. So I just think there's so much noise. There's more noise than there's ever been, and it's coming from all different directions. And I'm not even saying that to disparage anybody, because I think some of those, a lot of like new media, do really good work, but it's harder than it's ever been to parse through all of that. But, you know, as we know, that's not traditionally the job of media. But I don't really blame Micah and Trevon for having an incorrect view of it, I guess.
Did something change? What changed? Are the Cowboys more sensitive, you know, this disappointing season as compared to some of those that you covered closely?
You know, it's, in my opinion, it always gets like this with the players when the team is bad. You know, I mean, things are more critical. There's no, you know, the fun angles are not as interesting when the team struggles. Players take things personally. I can think back to every year, 2020, 2019, 2015, 2013, and the team is bad or even mediocre, this type of stuff happens where the media piles on the team lashes out in response. What I do think is different is typically the ownership and head coaching structure kind of stays out of it, in my opinion, you know, where the higher up the chain of command you go, the more that people understand that this all goes with the territory. This is part of the dinner, to quote Jason Garrett. But this year, obviously, I mean, we know on y'all's station, Jerry Jones has been a big part of the news cycle this year where he's kind of lashing out about criticisms on the team. You've seen Mike McCarthy get outwardly prickly during press conferences about questions that are being asked. I think that's very unusual, and I think it speaks to the tensions this year where Mike McCarthy knows he's in the last year of his deal, and maybe the, you know, maybe Jerry and Stephen Jones didn't expect their team to be this middling. But I think that's the big difference for me. I'm never surprised when players get angry about negative coverage, but it's a little more unusual to see it from Jerry and Mike.
Dave, something that stood out to me while I was doing the podcast with Brian, I was going back and looking at, all right, the Cowboys' salary cap structure and their second contracts. Have they done a poor job of assessing the players to pay for a second contract and not get the return on that investment?
I think that's a great question, man. And I think it's fair to point out that they haven't had wonderful luck with some of those second contracts that they've handed out. Terrence Steele comes to mind right off the top of my head. But even going back a few years, you know, the Delisle Collins and Jalen Smith contracts looked like steals at the time, but if the player doesn't continue to ascend, then it no longer looks like a steal. So that's a really good question. I hate to dogpile on them for that, because we do complain when the Cowboys aren't proactive, right? Like they wait and they wait and they wait, and that can bite them in the ass because then the contracts get too expensive. But they have been proactive in a few cases where they're like, hey, we can save a few dollars if we get this guy done a year ahead of time. And if the player is willing to play ball, that's how you can save money against the cap. So, like I said, I hate to kill them for doing that in a few circumstances, but I do agree with you. It just seems like they've had tough luck identifying those contracts the last few years.
Dave, I kind of felt like this offensive line would have a chance this year. You know, I felt like that maybe, you know, the two rookies, and, you know, they're not rookies anymore now. They've played 8 weeks in the National Football League. So they understand what this is all about. I just felt like I misevaluated that group. Is there, when you look at this football team, is there a group that you felt like that maybe you misevaluated or that is playing better than you thought they would play?
You know, to be honest with you, not really. I hate to sound like I'm patting myself on the back, but a lot of the problems that I had with the Cowboys roster heading into the season have come to fruition. I mean, ironically, Tyron Smith is not having a great year in New York anyway, but
no.
I was very dubious that you would be able to replace two starters on the offensive line without it being a problem. I was very worried about the receiver depth and the running back room. I was very worried about the number of defensive linemen that walked out the door where they didn't seem to have a good replacement for it. I guess, honestly, and you guys know how I feel about Dak Prescott, so hopefully it doesn't sound like I'm dogpiling the guy, but when I looked at the Cowboys over the summer, I was like, man, this is a middling roster, but they have a good enough quarterback that he's going to be able to make up for it, and Dak hasn't played that way to this year. So I think that's probably my biggest surprise is, before the season, I was like, this is a mediocre team, but Dak can get them to 9-8 because he's that good. But he hasn't been that good this year. And I mean, there's still time for him to pull out of it. Obviously, I think a big reason for that is he doesn't have a whole lot of help on the offensive side of the ball, but when you make that kind of salary, nobody wants to hear that stuff. So I do think there are ways he can raise his play even without a better supporting cast, and that is probably your best hope to try to, you know, pull this season together and get it to a better place.
Dave, if I was a Cowboy fan, just say, or, you know, I was, my hope is that I've always felt like that Dak through the years has always been compared to Stafford. When they asked the quarterbacks, the top quarterbacks, right? He was always kind of lumped in that group with Stafford, you know, and Goff and Eli Manning. That he was always in that kind of group. And I've kind of seen those guys go with good play callers or guys that can kind of help. And those quarterbacks look like they've elevated themselves a little bit. As a Cowboy fan, is your hope that they get somebody in there that could be a primary play caller, head coach, that could pull him out of what kind of funk he's in right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that would be a dream come true. Yeah, I actually, shameless plug, I talk to Greg Olson for our NFL on Fox podcast every week, and he has this Cowboys-Falcons game this weekend, and he was talking about a lot of the same stuff that y'all talk about on the local level and anybody who watches the Cowboys talks about, which is everything for this offense looks so hard. Like there are no layups for this group. There's nothing, right. There's no easy button. There's nothing that they can fall back on that doesn't require everybody being perfect to be successful. And, you know, you're just not going to have that many snaps in the NFL where everybody's perfect. So, yeah, I mean, if I'm looking for optimism in the big picture, then, yeah, like having that sort of play caller, well, you know, you're Kyle Shanahan, you're Sean McVay. I think Ben Johnson is the name that's going to get thrown around until he finally takes a head coaching job. You see the difference that those guys can make for their teams. And, I mean, I'm very confident that you could design this offense to put Dak in a better situation, even with this level of talent. I mean, the drop off from last year's offense was definitely better, but the drop off from what they had last year to what they have now is not so severe that they should look this bad. Right. I don't believe that. And so, yeah, when you're in a situation like that, you think, yeah, better play design, better play calling, a better schemed offense, I think isn't going to turn them into a juggernaut, not this team anyway, but I do think it could make a difference. And if they do wind up making a coaching change, that is what I would fixate on, knowing that you've already committed to Dak for the foreseeable future.
David Hellman, NFL on Fox, thank you so much for your time and enjoy week 9.
Anytime, fellas. Appreciate it.
Cheers. There he goes. Freaking legend of Cowboys media, David Hellman with you here in the G-Bag Nation, home of the Cowboys. If you missed it, you can go back and listen to Krusty's Corner 340. He previewed the Falcons offense for you today. Tomorrow he previews the Falcons defense, and that one's going to be huge. Can we draw up a path to 30-plus points for the Cowboys? I think that's how many they're going to score to need to win. But Wolchuk has his top 10 at 420 coming up next, buddy. Where are we going?
We got National Candy Corn Day.
Oh, geez, I'm out.
Okay, do you like candy
Gosh,
corn?
Dang it, dude. Nobody
likes candy corn.
It's not a damn top 10 candy corn list, okay? It's the top 10 worst Halloween candies. Is candy corn on it?
You should
say yes.
Uno.
What's the worst candy? That's next in the nation.
Yeah, buddy, we're back live at Whataburger in Grand Prairie off of 161, 2630 161 if you want to come by, say hi. We're out of G-Bag Nation flags, though. Yes, the iconic 2024 Whataburger flag is gone, okay? And it will not be available ever again. The 2025 G-Bag Nation flag will be available late September 2025, so you got about 11 months to go. We hope to see you then. Time now for Wolchuk's Top 10 at 420. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a wreck due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels and get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit franklefirm.com. Here he is, Zach with an H. Your Woolly Bully.
All right, let's do it. Halloween tomorrow, 877-881-1053, National Candy Corn Day. Just about to start a fight over here. I mean, my gosh, you said candy corn. Brian brought us. The fists were out. I thought he was going to just punch me right in the face. I said the word candy corn. Yeah. This thing was over. We'll see if we can even make it through this list. But
I got your back if he tries to attack you.
Thank you. I need
it. Chuck.
Somebody needs to.
Dawson skipped that HR thing he had to fill out the other day.
I have a couple of things to thank my dad for. Number one, teaching me to hate mayonnaise. Okay.
Okay.
Number two.
Your dad hates mayonnaise?
Teaching me to appreciate the candy corn.
Oh,
I think it's pretty good. Oh. Nice little snack candy.
All right.
Down there in a little tray, okay. You know.
When there's nothing.
That's child abuse, by the way.
I about to say.
Man. What are the worst Halloween candies? I've
here,
got the
Remy,
top 10.
Have some candy corn.
Worst.
That little girl's going to look at you like she is super
the
smart.
The little pumpkins with the green little stem
that's,
on there.
That's
just a bigger version of an awful-tasting candy.
Son, don't put that delicious mayonnaise on that sandwich. Please don't do that. Yeah. Be like me.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
Man, I just I don't have the hate for the,
son,
the candy
corn. Son, you need
corn.
To hate this BLT.
I don't have the hate for it either. Like, am I going to seek out candy corn? No. But if I had some candy corn, I'm not going to be like, this is the most disgusting thing of all time.
It is.
I don't yeah. What is it? The texture of it? It's like waxy?
Go ahead and have some wax. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
It gets stuck in the back of your teeth and all. And no.
I know somebody that like throws it in like some peanuts or something like that. And it just kind of
adds a little
almost like M&M's in popcorn.
Who is that person?
Like
call them out.
Kind of element.
Nobody on this crew.
Yeah, I want names.
Maybe call them out.
Yeah, I think that's probably my parents. I remember that happening at my own house with a get together.
You mix it in.
Did
and
you say something to your mom?
Wonderful.
Did you say something like, Mom, hey, what's the deal here?
No, because she brought it strong with the Reese's that year. So there was no reason to really fight back.
She get like a nice mixed bowl of candies.
Mom, how could you?
Yeah.
It's like, why'd you ruin the cashews, Ma?
There's nothing but candy corn in the bottom of the bowl.
Candy corn, huh?
Picked around it.
What's your worst Halloween candy, Lucius?
I don't know the name of these candies, but because, you know what, I don't think anybody knows the name because nobody's cared enough to even name them. But they only come out during Halloween week, and they last forever. Like, you might see them in August the next year.
Yeah.
They look like somebody wrapped some silly putty in some black or orange trash bags.
Boom.
Oh.
This is
Now-relators?
No.
Is it the generic taffy?
It's the unnamed candy.
It has no name, dog.
It has no name. It's the,
really?
Hey, take some of this, stupid. Oh, what kind of candy is it? Oh, it doesn't have
it's
a name.
The stupid candy.
Oh, unwrap it. And look, it's just silly putty. He's absolutely right. This candy.
Oh, I see this.
You
yes.
don't care. If you hand out this candy, you don't care.
Okay.
You don't care.
Yeah, they last forever.
Let me tell you what, as a kid, when you dumped your candy bag out and those were falling around, they got immediately thrown away. Immediately.
Yeah, what are
picked
those?
Up and thrown away.
What are those?
They have no name.
Dude.
Lucius is right. This candy is indestructible. It, and if you hand it out, you've got no heart. No heart. You don't care.
These are disgusting.
Yes.
You're a soulless individual. At
yes.
least if you make like some popcorn balls or a candy apple, and you put love into it. You just have no clue, right?
Nah.
If you give out that.
Yeah, there's things you you could give it some thought, but Lucius is right. These candies. This is a menace.
Are they peanut butter kisses?
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. It's just silly putty, man. You just throw them at each other while you're trick-or-treating as kids.
It is.
Bow, on the back of somebody's head because that's all they're good for.
Oh, wait a minute. I got a flat tire. Hell, get some of that candy there. We'll patch it up.
The molasses. The molasses taffy.
Just chew it a couple of times. We'll patch it up, and we can drive 100 miles.
Yeah, I might be able to fill a hole in your tire. Stuff with a bit of peanut butter.
It doesn't even have a name. It's so bad it doesn't have a name.
That peanut butter's faker than the peanut butter in the Uncrustables.
Oh, yeah. That's not real peanut butter.
As bad as it is, Wolchuk, it's not nearly as bad as
mayonnaise.
Is it Now and Laters, the black licorice candies?
No.
The Now and Laters
are
like the hard
fire,
squares.
Bro.
What are the black licorice candies, the little pink and white ones?
Mm. Yeah, I'm not a fan of those either.
Those Twizzlers. You can have those too, man. Twizzlers.
Okay, Lucius, you like the you're a Twizzler guy, right?
Good and Plenty. Yeah, I'm all about it. Yeah, Good and Plenty are awful. Oh, they're awful.
Okay, the Good and Plenty's are gross.
That's another heartless gift.
I knew somebody. I thought it was Lucius. You like the Twizzler. I mean, I can take it or leave it.
I like the Twizzler. I like the strawberry Twizzler and those type of Twizzlers. Not that black licorice.
The flavor. No, the black licorice is disgusting, but the strawberry Twizzler.
Oh, I love those.
I like the licorice where you can see the granules of sugar on them. Yeah. Like you whip it and it's just like
flies everywhere.
That's flying off. That's Twizzlers. Yeah. You could put that. You could pull a boat with that stuff.
Oh, God.
Just take your truck and hook it up with the Twizzlers.
Number.
Hey, I got the boat out back.
We're towing it. We're towing the boat.
You put vodka in your peppermint shake because you were on fire, sir.
No, I'm just telling you. I have this Hollywood Halloween candy thing. It's
your wheelhouse.
It's a sore subject with me.
Do you get out Halloween candy, or are you going to go home?
I wish people would come by. They don't. Oh, I get candy every year, and they don't even stop by. I get big candy bars.
Oh, my gosh.
Like big candy bars.
Well, I go to Highland Park. You can go to Brian's house.
Yeah. Come on by.
Okay, we have back-to-back texts, 940 and 214, talking about the sucky nature of the circus peanuts. And they're 100% right. I don't understand how those
Ringling
are still
Brothers
in business.
Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey peanuts?
These are the circus peanut candy.
Yeah, the little orange foamy things.
It looks like it should be. It looks like if you ordered a package and it was something fragile, like the white little puffy things that are there to protect
the peanuts.
That's basically what these peanuts are.
Yeah. Oh, orange. Gross!
I can't believe they consider them a candy, but I guess they do.
Yeah. Man, I thought that these doesn't were good look too,
that,
as a kid.
And I love the color orange because we're all around orange. Some of the best orange you'll ever be around. I don't like that orange.
That's not a good name. Orange. No. Lemon heads are number 10.
Is bad candy?
Yeah.
Lemon heads are great. Y'all need to chill out. Relax.
You like the lemon head?
Y'all going way too fast, bro. How y'all agree with that? Everybody agreed way too fast is what I'm saying. Y'all didn't think about that enough.
Somebody wants to fight for it.
Yeah. I'm here to fight for it. The lemon heads.
Nine's generic.
That's the penny candy. Y'all never had the penny candy lady in y'all's neighborhood? You go over her house and get it like a penny candy, whatever?
No.
We just had one.
$2, you got 20 pieces of candy?
They had like a homecoming parade, and somebody was throwing those lemon heads, and that was one of the ones that Remy gave me. I was like, sure.
Oh, it
rough. Got you.
I don't know how you could be so against candy corn and so pro lemon head.
They
baffles my mind.
They say it smells like a Lysol classroom wipe. Is the lemon?
Smells like a Lysol classroom wipe.
Yeah,
accurate.
Yeah, puts people.
That's
off.
Journalism right there.
What's wrong with that,
man? Clean. It smells clean.
Lucius every day.
Lucius
Alexander.
I know why you like it.
Down his nest.
I feel like I'm cleaning the inside of my body when I eat a lemon head right now.
Damn, Lucius, for 2 years, that's all we did was smell that Lysol,
that's
right?
It, man.
In that studio.
Good smell.
The house ain't clean till you smell that Lysol.
That's right.
Nine is generic taffy. And sure. I'm not into taffy.
Yes.
Eight is the
saltwater taffy is a big deal in a coastal town.
Yeah.
It's like one of those things that you get when you go to the beach.
Yeah.
But you got to be very selective.
And you get a rash, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only in Galveston.
Get the rash. Only in Galveston. Or Lubbock. Yeah. Eight is the atomic fireballs.
I'm too grown.
Are these spicy? The spicy ones?
No, they're just super sour. No, we're too grown for it.
Seven is Three Musketeers.
It's a bad candy.
I'm not a Three Musketeers hater.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it on a top 10 worst list.
You know what?
It's like if you're going to get a Three Musketeers, why wouldn't you just give me a Snickers?
Yeah.
Like just level up here.
Well, I guess, isn't it just thrown in?
So it's a poor man's
Snickers?
In the mixed
bag?
It's basically a Charleston Chew, you know? It's just there's too much of that
like
gilly nougat stuff.
Yes, light and fluffy.
Not here for that stuff.
Isn't it supposed to be a shake, a malt? It's supposed to be like a malt in a chocolate bar?
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Swung and missed on it.
It's a kick in when you have to trade candy. I'll kick this one in.
Oh, I'll throw in a Three Musketeers all day, dude.
It's like,
my brother
I'll
loved
give
them.
You a, I'll give
I go 2-1 with the Snickers.
Yeah.
Me and your brother, if he had Snickers,
yes.
And I'd go, here's 2 Three Musketeers,
yes.
Okay? And
yes.
Give me that one Snickers.
Give me the one Snickers.
I'll do that all day.
Okay. Six are Dots.
Oh, yeah.
That's a movie theater.
Dots were made for racing, and that's it.
Yeah.
Not for eating.
Five is off-brand Pixie Sticks.
It's just sugar. Yeah, it's got the color,
sugar.
Whatever it is around.
Pixie Sticks pretty good, though, the real deal, especially the grape ones.
Four are pretzels. You only get pretzels.
Boom.
I actually wouldn't mind that, dude.
You wouldn't mind
pretzels.
A pretzel?
For Halloween?
I love pretzels.
Like little stick pretzels?
Throw it in there?
No, straight
up pretzels. Like we're going to a bar and we eat stick pretzels?
Like a stick pretzel.
That's a give up.
Yeah, it's a give up.
The Dots mustard ones are pretty good, though, where you get the Dots cinnamon and sugar ones.
Talk to me.
I'll take that.
Dots mustard.
I will take those.
Oh, hell no.
Just the original Dots, too.
Because it's mustard. Yeah. Idiot. Colonel Mustard down there at the end.
They're not too mustardy. They're brilliant.
Three is hot tamales.
That's a movie. That's a bad one. You're buying those.
Oh, my God.
Hot tamales suck.
They're fun,
man. Don't go there. No, they're not.
Double doubles or two? Double bubbles?
Double bubble gum. Oh, the gum that lasts for 0.4 seconds.
Yeah, and then it tastes terrible.
Oh, yeah, I sold those in middle school.
And then the Necco.
Dick Jorgensen.
Get them at Costco, take them to school.
Again? Yeah, that's a smart move. We had candy kids at school that understood, like, hey, I'm a walking vending machine here. And they were cleaning up.
They're basically selling.
Yeah.
It's like the kids at Heavyweights. They're, like, stuffing all the candies into, like, weird crevices that they can find in their room to hide them. And then the English kid's got, like, sausages and all kinds of crap taped to his body. You've got a kid walking around like, hey, whatever you need, I got it over here. Sausages, you need some Snickers, I'm your guy.
I'll take the sausages and press.
I was making, like, 15 bucks a day,
dude. It's a good side hustle. Number one, though, are the Necco wafers, which are, like, I guess the Smarties. It's what they look like.
Really?
Yeah, like giant
Necco. What?
Yeah, like chalk candy.
Yeah, very grainy. Absolutely, Lucius. That's exactly what they are.
Here, have it.
Well, thank you, Woolchuck. There it is. Another top 10 in the books.
Sorry about that.
Those were produced. Those Necco wafers were produced in 1847.
Probably for soldiers on the front line. You know, they needed any kind of sustenance.
Hey, you're about to die. Have one of these.
Here's the worst candy of all time.
A lot of pushback on the hot tamales. We got hot tamale lovers out here.
They're not too bad. I would take a hot tamale.
Bulls might say Chico Sticks. Chico Sticks, A1, 100, brutal. Top of the list. He said brutal.
Make you lose your teeth.
Oh, my God, where are my keys?
You like Chico Sticks? You like the Chico
Hell
Sticks?
Hell yeah, I love Chico Sticks.
Wow. You're about to catch him outside.
I feel like I needed to see a dentist after those. The candy consultant. You're on the right path.
So good.
Okay, Dr. thank you, Woolchuck. We're live at Grand Prairie here, 161 Whataburger, right next to the Walmart. You can come by, get something delicious to eat and drink, but you can no longer pick up a G-Bag Nation flag as we are out. Coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation, are we heading for more college football content, Chief?
We got the Wooly Bully College Football Super Seg of the Day.
Oh, let's go. Perfect.
We got a cocktail party to discuss.
We sure do, don't we? Where is that moving to?
What?
We'll tell you next in the Nation.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. G-Bag Nation 105.3 The Fan. We'll ask you, coming up in the expressway at 520, are we too negative about the Cowboys? We'll give you Trayvon Diggs, Micah Parsons conversation about that. Right now, time for some college football. Here's Woolchuck.
All right, Red Raider fans, your quarterback is going to be playing against Iowa State. Baron Morton. He injured his non-throwing shoulder near the half against TCU last Saturday. TCU comes back. They end up knocking off the Red Raiders, so he's going to start against number 10, Iowa State, in Ames.
Oh.
Going to be a tough one, though, for the Red Raiders. I mean, one, the history against Iowa State, not good, and that is a tough place to play. Iowa State right now, driver's seat, winning the Big 12 and getting into the playoff right now.
Wow, they're playing for some, Woolchuck. Is that a night game?
It's an afternoon game.
Afternoon
2:30 start.
That helps things.
It does.
You need that sun up in the sky if you're a road team playing at Ames.
Yeah.
Jack Trice Stadium.
Mm. Yeah, that's where dreams go to die?
Where dreams go to die. Yeah. I'll tell you another game. Upset alert. How about Texas A&M traveling to Bryce Williams Stadium in South Carolina?
Hello.
Did we have this conversation yesterday?
We did, but brought us all the light today. I know, better late than never.
Circled the wagons.
Man, I just kind of.
Nice
let's go. A&M's not going to lose that game.
I was thinking about it's a night game, though. That's the deal.
That's a tough one.
LSU went in there and played an 11 a.m. game, and it still was ruckus.
Touch and go.
But, man, you play a 6:30 game at that place, 7:30 game, that might be a little problem right there.
Because those Gamecock fans don't get talked about enough as being rabid, wild savages.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And they honestly deserve more respect. This might be one of their coming out party kind of moments.
You
watch
off
out.
A&M.
Yes. Especially when A&M's flying real high now.
Yeah, it's a trap game. You just knocked off LSU. You're feeling great about yourself.
You got to stick with Reed, right, for the Aggies?
If they do not play
it's
Reed.
It's Marcel or bust.
Yeah, if you don't play Reed, because, like I said, LSU was not ready for that. And if Wegman would have played that entire game, LSU would have won that game.
Yeah.
But once Reed came in the game,
would have dog walked.
The turnovers and stuff were a problem. But Reed was more of a problem. He needs to be the quarterback at Texas A&M going forward from now on.
Amen.
Guy can throw. Guy can run. He needs to be the guy.
What would be worse if Saturday it's not Reed starting at quarterback for the Aggies?
Wegman?
Or if Sunday Donovan Wilson is the one tasked with taking on Kyle Pitts?
Ooh.
What's the coaching choice that would make you scratch your head even more? I think they're both fireable.
I think I know which one would tick me off more.
Right, personally. Biases aside.
It's probably the quarterback, though, right?
Quarterback by far.
Probably still the quarterback.
Elko's too smart for that.
He's not going to do it.
No way.
469 just texted and said, OU fan here, South Carolina can rush the passer like crazy.
They can.
Make you one-dimensional, and it's tough.
They can.
You need the legs of Marcel Reed. Help bail you out of that.
You need both of those legs.
Now, the world's largest cocktail party. It's going to be moving.
Jacksonville, Florida.
So they usually play it in Jacksonville. You're right.
The old Gator Bowl.
Going to be some renovations going down there. So.
Ooh. We're going to move this thing to Atlanta.
They are. They are. So during 2026 and 2027, the Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Stadium is going to host the matchup in 26. 27 will be Raymond James Stadium in Tampa.
So they can fire the cannons.
Yeah. They'll fire the cannons. So that'll be fun. I mean, I'm looking forward to that. And
he sounds like he's been to the cocktail.
Fire the cannons. You think Florida's got any hope of pulling up an upset there? Bill and Napier maybe saving his job?
Oh, no.
They are playing better, though.
No. No chance. No chance. I agree.
I give him 0%.
Absolutely no chance.
That's what my calculator says.
That's a good calculator right there. Ollie Gordon of Oklahoma State, go Pokes. He said he's not going to opt out of the 2024 season. They're pretty much out of contention here in the Big 12 now. They were picked third in the preseason poll, receiving 14 first-place votes.
They've had some bad days.
Now they're at the bottom of the standings. Just they're 0-5 in conference play. They're 3-5 overall. They had such a great start to the season at 3-0. They were looking good. They were in a battle against Utah.
And then the Big 12 schedule hit.
All of a sudden, they really peed down their leg on this one.
Yeah, but do you see their uniforms for the weekend? They're going to be looking sick.
Oh, no. Which ones are they going with? All blacks?
It's all blacks, but it's also like a OAMC. Like they're paying some type of homage to some like 1909 deal.
Oh, nice.
The OA Association.
Huh.
I don't know.
They've got some pretty cool uniforms.
But that's the emblem that's going to be on there. It's like an O with an A in the middle.
Well, Ollie said, I finish what I start. My mama always told me that you finish what you start. And
for the Crimson Tide.
Who would I be to give up on my team because our season's not going anywhere? So I like that. You know, Ollie's saying, hey, I don't care about this NFL draft deal. I'll address that when the season's over.
He's got, what, 4 more games?
And keep playing.
Dude, y'all need to look at that.
Season's like a box of chocolates.
If you're wearing long socks,
look
at the – it's like a Bengals kind of stripes down the arms and the legs or whatever.
Whoever does OSU's uniforms gets it.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
They do. Every week they have a good look.
And this is also one of those things where I got to ask you about how I say the word bangle.
Bingle?
Bangle. Am I saying that weird? Somebody texted me earlier, I was talking like the Cincinnati Bengals. I say bangle weird. Like, what's up with the
Oh, it's because you always call them the bungholes, dude. Well, you don't even realize it when you do it.
I did that. You know, I had one guy got really upset, so I've tried to like.
There's
not
a Tolo
that
that's a big Cincinnati Bengal fan that. Like,
do some of them say Bengals?
I'd say Bengal. Bengal Tiger?
Bengal?
A Bengal?
Bayou Bengals?
The Cincinnati Bengals.
The Bengals.
The Bengals.
I think I said
the
like,
Bengals is a musical group.
I think I probably do say it's strange.
You put too much bang on it?
I
walk
probably
like
do.
An Egyptian. I think
I don't
was
know.
That the Bengals?
Maybe. Yeah. But whatever.
Say it again, Walchuk.
Bengal.
I think he's nailing it.
Am I all right?
I really think you got it.
Whatever.
I
it
think
is what
just
it is.
Being nice.
Are you watchdogging his Bengal?
Are you
right
trying
now?
To
no,
crap over there
all.
Again?
No, not at all.
I'm getting real sick and tired of your attitude.
Mm-hmm.
First, it was the top 10 worst Halloween candies in the
kinda
world.
Kind of talking like me now.
Now
most
it's one
worst.
Of these things where how I say Bengal, you're watchdogging my vocabulary.
No, Eric
and my
brought
speech,
it up.
My dialect.
You brought it up yourself.
I was just asking. But I don't actually want your opinion on it anymore. Okay. I rescind the question.
It wasn't asked, my dear.
I think Bengal's a good alternate pronunciation. You know? It's definitely not Bengal.
Bengal.
Bengal,
Bengal
maybe?
Tigers.
Bengals?
The
I think,
Bengals.
Yeah. Bengal. I think if you're just saying it, you're saying it's the Bengals.
Good old Bengal.
Cowboys versus the Bengals.
I like that. Rice fired their coach. He got bleep canned. Mike Bloomgren.
They've been not very good
here. Yeah, they were 2-6 on the year. They're not going anywhere. And the last thing I wanted to get to here was Pat Narduzzi of Pitt.
They got SMU.
Good coach.
Come on, SMU.
Those tickets sold out so fast for the student section there. They're ready to pony up and party for SMU, hopefully beating them.
Are we a 50,000-seat stadium over there? What are we at SMU?
I don't know how
much. Are we 35,000?
Yeah, go ahead and look that up for me. Pat Narduzzi,
though.
That
thing needs to be full, man.
It's going to be.
You got two ranked teams going at it.
I think it's
going
to be packed.
Yeah, on the hill.
And Narduzzi's got
32K.
32,000. They're going to. That's
32K at the hilltop.
That's
needs to be full.
He's doing like the dangle of the carrot to his players here for the NIL stuff.
I think it's dangle. I think it's dangle.
They're going to dangle. Yeah, they're going to dangle it. They're dangling that carrot.
I'm not surprised he would be dangling with such a hockey name.
With Narduzzi? Yeah, it is.
What about Hank Narduzzi?
Oh, it's his brother.
You know who that – you remember that? Well, is that – I think that's I Love You Man.
It is.
It is?
And they're distant cousins.
Yeah.
Shared grandfather. It's amazing. But Narduzzi said, look, if the players aren't playing well, our guys aren't going to pay you. All right? So basically, you're going to get paid for your production. We're not doing anything here NIL-wise. We're trying to keep them hungry. Evidently, it's working. They changed stuff up this year. Players are playing much better, and the boosters aren't feeling like these players are stealing their money and not doing anything with it productive on the football field. So it's working for Pitt. I don't know if anyone else is going to
pay for play.
They have players that are signing up for non-guaranteed money. Yeah. I'm only cashing checks.
They're 7-0 right now.
Well.
It's working for them, yeah.
And a couple players left, and he said we're better without them now. So, hey, if you guys think you're so good, you got to get this guaranteed money, fine, go. And they left. Hmm. Players that stayed, it's working out.
Fantastic report once again, Wolchuk.
Those that stay will be champions.
We are live at Whataburger in Grand Prairie, 2630 Highway 161. Now, we're at our GBAG Nation flags, but you can still support the nation by going to your local Whataburger and getting some delicious dinner or supper, you know, whatever you're heading for, late lunch, third meal, something like that.
Midnight snack, dude.
Yes.
Place is open 24 hours here.
We'll hit the expressway coming up in about 25 minutes, but in addition to the finest is up next, Chief. What do you got?
Yes, you know, on that Whataburger note, I would love for everybody to just text in their individual go-to Whataburger order. Ruben had a great pro tip earlier that I'd never heard before that we will address Whataburger style, but go ahead and text that in, and then we'll get to the filthy perfume, the ultimate compliment, and the new S word. Did you hear this? Next in the nation.